God spoke to me while Brother Wilson was preaching over in Pacoima in 1953. That was 20 years ago. And I've been using this text off and on since 1953 because I believe God gave it to me. Brother Wilson was preaching on forgiveness. And back over there in the congregation, a sister spoke up, interrupted his message, and says, "Do we have to forgive before people ask us to forgive?" Brother Wilson says, "I expect to cover that later on in my message." And she sat down and expecting and waiting to hear what he was going to say about that question later on in his message. And I sat there wondering what he was going to say. Was he going to give her an answer? No, we don't have to forgive until people ask us to forgive us. Or was he going to say we're going to have to forgive whether people ever ask us to forgive them or not? Pondering it over in my mind, I quit listening to his preaching and began to think on this question because it had been presented to me a time or two. I think especially one sister. Her sister was married to a man and her sister died. And left a couple of youngsters. And so this sister-in-law to the bereaved husband, he asked her to come and stay in his home and help him raise his children and her niece and nephew. Just little things. And so she moved into the home there. Maybe was already living there, I don't remember. It wasn't too long till Bill found a lady and he decided he wanted to get married. And so Bill proposed marriage to this lady and she accepted him. And so she comes into the home now, and this old maid sister that had promised to help him raise his children, why, she was kind of shunted aside. The security that she thought was already worked out disappeared because Bill had found him a wife. And she was no longer needed to raise the children. And she was shunted aside and animosity or dislike or ill will came into her heart against Bill and against his new wife because they had eased her out of what she thought was financial security. And she loved those children too. She wanted to raise them. She'd raise another one of her own, another sister of hers had died and left a tiny infant. The woman died, her sister died in childbirth, and she asked her sister to take this little girl, and she took her and raised her. Now, ill will came into her heart against Bill and his new wife, and it was hard for her to forgive. She had the profession of being a saint, old-time saint. But I tell you, this was a real test, a real problem to her. And she came to me, wanting to know, have I got to forgive her before she asks me to? Do I have to forgive her? Well, my understanding of the scriptures, we have to forgive whether people ask us to or not. That was the way I understood it. And I told her, yes, she had to forgive. Well, she just didn't believe that she had to forgive until Beulah humbled her heart and asked her forgiveness. Why, she'd forgive her if she'd ask her to. But just to forgive her without her asking, she felt like that she'd been mistreated, that Bill had offered her security, and now he'd taken it away, and this woman was the cause of it, and so on and so on. And so forgiveness was one of her problems. Shall I forgive or shall I not forgive? And then, the same sister, I remember somebody came through and hold a revival meeting, and she was sick. She was an elderly woman. She was, I'm sure, was way up in 70 maybe. And she went to the service and she wanted prayer. She was very sensitive about her age. It was nobody's business how old she was. And her mother was still living when she was up in 70. Her mother was up in 90, you know, and she was up in 70. And when people said, "Your mother's still living?" Well, you know, that sounded like, "Well, you sure are old. Your mother still be living." And she was very sensitive about her age. But when sugar rationing came on, she didn't want just anybody to go down and apply for sugar for her. And she had to put her age down on that ration card. And my boy, I believe, took it down there, and he caught on to how old she was. I'll tell you, she didn't want anybody to say anything about her age. Well, she came up to be prayed for. And the minister anointed her and started praying for her. No, he said, before he started praying, he said, "Well, sister, as we get older, we have more infirmities of the flesh and so on, and come on from old age." And he didn't realize what was happening to him. She had a dollar in her pocket that she was going to give him for an offering after he got through praying. And after he said that, though, she reached in the other pocket of someplace and got four bits. She only gave him 50 cents. she cut down she cut down on her offering to him because he spoke about her old age and infirmity coming along. So I knew that forgiveness was one of her problems, being able to forgive. And when I got to thinking about, now back in Brother Wilson's meeting there, and he's up there preaching on forgiveness, and this sister asked him, "Do we have to forgive before we ask?" And he promised to answer it later on. I got to turn it over in my mind. Do we have to forgive before people ask us to? And this is the way I began to reason. Is God going to require more of us, a higher standard of forgiveness, than He shows Himself? I believe Jesus told Peter, maybe, "How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Shall I forgive him seven times?" And Jesus' answer was, "I say not until seven times, but until 70 times seven." And if your brother sin against you and turn to you and say, "I repent," thou shalt forgive him.
Yeah, seven times in a day.
Yeah. And the disciples said, "Lord, increase our faith." They just couldn't see forgiveness like that. Now then, I begin to reason. Is God going to require us to be more forgiving than He is? If I've got to forgive seven times in a day, would God forgive seven times in a day? And I know it generally works out if a person commits the same sort of a trespass against one, about the second or third time they commit it, they'll say, "Well, I just don't believe you're sincere in your repentance. I'll have to see some fruits of repentance before I forgive you." And so this is an important subject. And so I thought, well, now God doesn't forgive us until we ask Him to. We come down at the altar and we plead for forgiveness. Now, was I forgiven? Did he forgive me before? And I have to ask him to forgive me before I get salvation. Well, now, if God requires us to ask him to forgive us before he'll forgive us, well, would he make me forgive without them asking forgiveness? And so, just about the time I said, well, it looks to me like if God, if we have to ask God before he forgives us, we don't have to forgive either until they ask God. But I was approaching that thinking, and then's when God spoke to me. When God straightened me out, I went right in on the board. Can y'all read that?
Yes.
I forgave you before you was born.
That's a word up there, isn't it?
You is singular, isn't it?
Yes.
I am, us, you are. Well now, I don't remember how the Lord said it, but whoever it was is grammatically correct. You was before you was born. I was born, he was born, you was born. Now, if it were, I were born, you were born, he were born. I don't know now which it ought to be, but anyhow, it's been a long time ago, and I don't remember which God said was or were. But anyhow, the thought, you get the thought, don't you? Now, I'm going to read in the 18th chapter of Matthew, beginning with the 21st verse. Then came Peter to him and said, let me take off these glasses, I believe I can read better. Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say, not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents, which is a mighty sum, maybe $10 or $15 million. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. How big a debt? 10,000 talents. How could any servant earn $10 or $15 million to pay off a debt? He said, give me time and I'll pay it all off. But that would be an impossibility, wouldn't it? So he was forgiven an impossible debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest.
Yes, sir.
Sir?
Yes, sir.
And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. He said the very same thing that the servant had said, that he had said, that he himself had said to his Lord. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, that million-dollar debt, because thou desiredst me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, that he should pay all that was due him unto him. Now here's the point. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. That's serious. I think what Jesus, well, that's serious. In the 6th chapter of Matthew, Jesus teaching the disciples how to pray. I gave them a model prayer. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us as we forgive. Yes. With the same type of forgiveness that we forgive, that's the kind of forgiveness we're going to receive. Yes. For if, the 14th verse, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's pretty serious. Now, in the 11th chapter of Mark, we find something more. The 25th verse of the 11th chapter of Mark says, and when ye stand praying. Well, now, we don't believe in standing and praying very much. We don't practice that too much. We generally stand and pray when we're dismissing or at a funeral service or something like that, in a more formal occasion. But for our praying, we generally kneel. But, you know, standing was evidently one of the things. But Jesus says, when ye stand praying, forgive. Well, there's one time you sure better forgive when you're standing and praying. You better forgive. If you have aught against any, now, if you have aught against any, he implies to me that that person has not made an effort, has not asked you to forgive them. If you have aught against any, when you stand praying, forgive them. Now, whether they've asked you or not, when you're standing and praying, you've got to forgive to obey, to measure up to the teaching of Jesus.
He's not likely to be out there with you when you're out there in your place of prayer to ask you to forgive him, but he says forgive him while you're praying.
Yes. That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now, Peter says, you'll never wash my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash, you'll have no part with me. Oh, Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head. Yes. Now, if you do not forgive man, God's not going to forgive you. That's what he said real plainly there. All right, well, think about this text now. I forgive you before you. Which should it be, folks? Before you was born or before you were born? Were? All right. I'll put were there. And I'll look into it further. (Clears throat) You know, I hate to hear our brethren say you and I when they ought to be saying you and me too. God has been good to you and I. God hasn't been good to I. God's been good to me. If you're along there, well, it's you and me instead of you and I. And when it's in the objective case, it should be me instead of I. Now, that's thrown in, no charge for that. When the Lord said that to me, it startled me. It put me to thinking. I forgave you before you were born. But where and how could that have happened? Well, it must go back to Calvary. When he was on the cross. God knows the life of every person. He knows all about us before we ever come into existence. Doesn't he? Don't you think he does? If he doesn't, he could if he wanted to. And who did Jesus offer forgiveness to back there when he died on the cross? Who did he die for? Did he die for a certain few? Or did he die for everyone? Did he die for me back there? Well, good. I'm glad he did. I forgave you before you were born. If he forgave me back there before I was born, brother, he didn't wait till I asked him to before he forgave me. Get the point? And I've got to forgive before you ask me too. If I'm going to follow like God, if I'm going to have the same principle of righteousness and justice that God had, I'm going to have to forgive you whether you ever ask me or not. I'm going to have to forgive you. Now this applies to the whole church. This is something, this is not for the world. But this is something that applies to the church. I think when Sister put that dollar back and took out 50 cents and cut down her offering, I think she's holding something against that brother. I think he was unforgiven. She didn't forgive him. Now, if she had forgiven him for that, and she had overlooked it, I think she'd have given the whole dollar.
Maybe he went back after him.
Maybe going back for more, brother said. Huh? Well?
Get behind me, don't you push. I'm going to give all I've got.
Well, brethren, I believe that any place there's contention in the church, or strife in the church, or confusion in the church, I believe any congregation where you see them crossed up like that, somebody hasn't forgiven somebody.
That's right.
And if we're all profess to be Christians, how can we hold anything against anybody no matter what they have done to us? Did Jesus deserve what he got? Did he deserve the buffeting on it? Did he deserve the crown of thorns? Did he deserve being spit on? Did he deserve any of that? When he was hanging there and they're driving the nails in his hands, did he say, I'll remember this. When we come to the judgment day, boy, just you wait. You'll hear me say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, and everlasting into everlasting fire. Did he say that?
No.
Right while he was mistreating him, while he was putting him to death, while they were doing the thing that was taking his life, what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Just like, and right there, while he's a dying, I got my forgiveness. 1903, I was born in 1903. When I came into the world, when I came into the world and when you came into the world, you came into this world in a forgiven state. We heard about the Adamic sin, Adamic nature, and so on. We heard that, brother, Brother Mark, give us a wonderful lesson on that. And that sin of Adam is passed on down to us. But it's not, wasn't charged against us when we come into the world. We come into the world under the blood of Jesus Christ, under the atonement, under the forgiveness. And we'll not go to hell until we, in our own mind and in our own heart, rebel against God and do something that He's forbidden us to do. Up until we reach the age of accountability, when we die, there's not going to find a single one of those in hell. Not going to be any babies in hell. The Catholic Church teaches there'll be babies in hell not a span long. But that's godless teaching. That's false teaching.
Yes, it is.
The forgiveness of God, like little children, for such is the kingdom of heaven.
I had a woman get up in my service one morning and said people were born to go to hell.
Yeah. But there's lots of false teaching in the world. But I look back there to Calvary. And forgiveness was made. Now that didn't save me. I came into this world in a forgiven state. I mean, the Adam's sin was not charged against me. I came into this world innocent. And I stayed innocent. I believe I told you all, I think, when I lost my innocency, when I picked the 2 pennies out of my pocket and went church money and went and bought chewing gum with it and told my mother that a boy had given it to me. Up until that time, I believe if I'd have died, I'd have gone to heaven. Because I came into the world in a forgiven state. But after I did that, I lost my forgiveness. I forgave you before you was born. But then, now when I go and sin some more, I'm going to need to say, Jesus, forgive me. And I did ask Him to forgive me for stealing that 2 pennies of the church money. And He did forgive me. And I don't worry about it, but I still remember it. I know what I did, and I know what God did for me. Now, dear ones, as I was turning these things over in my mind, God gave me a parable. I was working in the post office at that time. I sat at the money order and cashed the money orders. That was my job, was to cash money orders. And I'd cash thousands of dollars worth of money orders every day. The bank would send over a stack of money orders maybe that high and a tape that long, and I had to check each one of them and pay the bank off, and people come in one at a time or time I cashed money orders. So I was very familiar with the money order system, and I guess the Lord knew that I'd understood that. And so He gave me this illustration. Now, suppose I have borrowed money from you, and I owe you, say, $10. And I live here in Jefferson, you live up there in Portland. And I want to pay this debt. Well, I don't want to go all the way up there, but I go down to the post office and I buy me a money order. My $10 that I want you to have, I buy me a money order, and I get me an envelope and a stamp, and I address that envelope to you, and I get a $10 money order, and I put it in that envelope, and put a stamp on it and write your name and address on the front of it, maybe my address on the back of it, and go and drop it in the mail. When I go that far, I feel like that I have